morning. We'll be, scripture this morning is chapter 18, verses 1 through 19. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him."
It's a great joy and privilege to have this opportunity to share God's word with you. And you've already heard a couple testimonies about the significance and importance that families, hosts had in the lives of the students that shared. And I want to share with you further about the importance of the ministry of hospitality. And the text that we just heard from refers to Abraham's experience of hospitality, of showing hospitality to these three strangers who ended up being angels, indeed the Lord himself visiting with Abraham. And this is captured in one verse in the New Testament that I want to focus with you on this morning, and it's Hebrews 13:2. And let's see if we get the PowerPoint up here. There we go. Okay. See if my clicker is working. Okay, let me tell you a couple more stories before we read the Hebrews 13:2. This is my friend Tae-Yu. She comes from Taiwan and came to study in the United States. And when she was here, she came as a very strong Buddhist. In fact, she had studied Buddhist philosophy. But when she came, she didn't know anyone in the United States, and she was requesting the help of IFI to pick her up from the airport and providing temporary housing for a few days when she arrived. And so a Christian family met her at the airport and invited them to her home. And when she went to their home, as they gathered around for the dinner meal, they held hands around the table, as was their custom, And the father in the home began to pray. Not only did he thank God for the food, but he thanked God for the privilege of having Tayu in their home and began to pray that God would help her in her adjustment to America and help her in her studies and began to pray for her family. And she was so deeply touched by that prayer. She had never heard that type of personal prayer to God. She was touched by the fact that this person was asking this God he was praying to bless her life. And right then and there, within her first day in the United States, hearing that prayer, she said, I want to know more about this God who they are praying to. And so as a result of that, she then sought out a Bible study group, began to study the scripture, and came to know Christ. She grew in her faith, and now she is serving in a ministry providing literature to people in China so they can learn more about Christ. But it was hospitality that opened the door to her heart. I'll share with you one more story here. This is my friend Abdul. Abdul came to study in the United States from the country of Afghanistan. Now, we're familiar with Afghanistan because of the war that's gone on there. But if you know about the spiritual condition of Afghanistan, you'll know that 99.9% of Afghans are Muslims. Very few of them have the opportunity to hear the gospel, and there's no open churches in Afghanistan. When Abdul came to study in the United States, he experienced what many people experienced leaving their homes and their families. He experienced loneliness. In fact, he was married and had children that he left at home in Afghanistan. And so when a family invited Abdul to their home, he was very glad to come, although they invited him to church at the same time. And he wasn't really keen on going to church as a Muslim, but he was so keen on going to their home that he said, okay, I'll go to church just so I can go to their home for lunch. And so he went to their home for lunch, and afterwards they spent a long time just talking with him about his life and interacting with him. And no one had given him that type of attention and focus and really hearing his heart. And so when they invited him again the following week, he thought, well, if the meal is always a part of going to church, I'll go to church. And indeed, they invited him home after the church service. And so that became a routine. That became a part of his life, going to church and going to this family's home after church and spending the afternoon together. And gradually, he began to listen to what was being said in the sermons. And gradually, something began to happen in his heart. Through the love that he saw in that family and through hearing the word of God, his heart was moved toward Jesus Christ so that he made a decision that he had never, ever seen any other Afghan make. He made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And, you know, his job was, he was the top-ranked translator in his country before he came to study in the U.S. And so after he came to Christ and he wanted to read the Bible in his own language, he realized that the scripture in the Dari language was very poorly translated because it had been translated by a non-native speaking Dari person. And so God put it on his heart to make a new translation in his language so that the Afghan people could better understand the message of Jesus Christ. And so God used Abdul in an amazing way. But it was hospitality that opened the door. And so I want to talk to you further about this important ministry of hospitality. I won't tell you her story, but my clicker is not working as well. Maybe I'll just tell you to advance. Go ahead and advance. So here's Hebrews 13:2. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, this statement in the scripture is one that is not isolated. What I want you to know is that this is the normal Christian life, the normal way of following Jesus, the thing that God wants to be integrated into our lives is this practice of hospitality. In the Old Testament, God made very clear that this was to be a mark of his people. In Leviticus 19:33-34, he says, when a foreigner resides with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And this is repeated a number of times in the Old Testament in various forms, the fact that God's people were to be welcomers of strangers. They were to treat them as family, to include them in their homes. God had his people be marked by that. And in the New Testament, we see that not only in Hebrews 13:2, but in other passages that talk about this is the way Christians live, such as Romans 12:13 tells us to practice hospitality, such as 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, these texts are in the context of, like Romans 12 talks about, you know, how we should pray, how we should show compassion, how we should, be engaged in sharing with people in need. It is part of the list of the way that Christians live. Now, I think that one of the challenges we have to face in America is to be Christians who transcend our culture, that we have biblical values instead of cultural values. And it isn't a biblical value, it isn't a value in Western culture to practice hospitality. We have to go against the grain. Part of the reality is that we have strong individualism in America. We have a loss of community life. And so to practice this requires us to make a decision to do something different than we normally would do. Now, what we need to understand is in order to practice hospitality, we have to understand what it is. Now, the way we can understand that is partly in contrast. Hebrews 13:1 says this, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. In other words, the scriptural injunction that we have community with ourselves, that we grow deep in our relationships, we learn how to encourage one another and pray for one another, we learn how to honor one another. That's the way the life of Christ is lived out in the body of Christ, and you are hopefully doing that with one another. I have some sense of that, that God has brought you together as a family and that you're engaged in one another's lives, from the prayer requests that are shared and to the other things that you're doing, that you're living that out. But that's where Hebrews 13:2 comes into as a contrast. Keep on doing that. Keep on developing relationships with another in the body of Christ that are deep and encouraging and substantial, but do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. So this is the balance, that we don't become closed in our community. We don't become closed in our circle of relationships so that we become comfortable enough with the people that we already enjoy and the people who are our friends. God's call to us is that we keep an open heart and an open church that's ready to welcome and receive strangers. Now, critical to this is understanding what the word stranger is. I'm sure, although Marion is a small town, that you probably don't know everybody. So you could say the person down the road that you've not met before, interact with, is a stranger. In a way, that's correct, but biblically, that's not what's being talked about here. In the Bible, the word stranger is translated elsewhere, foreigner, sojourner, alien, meaning someone who is born in another culture, who leaves that culture to go and live in another culture. So biblically, if we are going to practice hospitality, it doesn't mean inviting people home after church who you already know. It doesn't mean getting your family together. It doesn't mean even welcoming your neighbor and getting to know them. Now, those are all good things. I'm not in any way saying don't do those things. But what I'm wanting you to understand is that if we are going to practice biblical hospitality, it means welcoming those who've come from another culture to live in our culture. That is the imperative, that is the command, that is the encouragement that God is giving to his people to practice that type of lifestyle. Wow. Now, when we think about it that way and we ask ourselves the question, how active am I in practicing that? You may say, well, I don't have opportunity. Well, I'm going to be giving you an opportunity today. But also, maybe many times there are opportunities that we don't even recognize. You know, when I was in college and there were international students around me in college, I paid no attention to them. They were not on my radar. I had because I didn't know that God had a concern for them. Oh, I knew God loved everybody. Theologically, I knew that. But in terms of my heart, I didn't have a passion to really see them as people who God had sent. And so I missed the opportunity there. And so I know that that's the reality for many of us, is that we may feel uncomfortable approaching someone, or we don't know what the means is to invite them in. And so we need to learn how to do that. The reality is there are some things that we need to learn about how to practice hospitality. Now, the story that we read from Genesis 18, you know, when it says, do not forget to show hospitality, for some by so doing have entertained angels without knowing. The some by so doing is a reference that for sure at least to Abraham, could be also a reference to Lot, but Abraham. And so let's learn what Abraham did, what hospitality looks like. When strangers are invited in, how do you practice biblical hospitality? The first important thing is a warm welcome. That's the heart of it. And how does Abraham express a warm welcome? He has eagerness and enthusiasm to have these strangers come in. You know, he gets up, he says, oh, if I have found favor in your sight, please come into my home. You know, when I go to other cultures and I go to someone's home, they consider it a great honor that I consider them in such a way that I would want to spend time with them. Now, I always think of a hospitality as a double honor, right? Because the guest feels extremely honored that we would be invited into someone's home. And that's what you heard in the lives of my international friends, that when someone says, you are important enough to me, I want to have you with me in my home. I value you. I value giving my time to you. I value sharing my home with you. It's a double honor. But Abraham knew how to do that enthusiastically. Now, one of the things about a warm welcome is it starts in our heart. Do we really have that type of excitement to share what we have with other people? Do we want other people to know that they are valuable to God? Do you know, in other cultures in the world, honor is very important. And there are two things primarily that people experience honor with. One is gift giving, that when they give a gift, that's a way of showing honor. And the other one is hospitality. So if we want to reach the nations of the world who are primarily coming from honor cultures, one of the most important things that we could do is to practice hospitality. Before we give them the word of God, we have to have relationship. And the way that relationships are usually established is through hospitality. You know, one of the things about Abraham, if you read that, if you were listening carefully when it was read, who can remember what time of the day was it that these men appeared at Abraham's tent? Anybody remember? It was in the heat of the day. That's the siesta time in the Middle East. That's the time where you don't want to work, where you kick back and you take a little nap. So it wasn't a very convenient time. How many of you sometimes feel like hospitality is not very convenient? Your house isn't cleaned up, you got a list of things to do. And it's just, the reality is, if we only wait to practice hospitality when it's convenient, we probably won't do it. Because when do we get all of our to-do lists done? When do we have a block of time where we have nothing else to do? You know, we got enough other things to do. So Abraham, though, he still got up when it was the heat of the day with the eagerness to invite those people in. The second thing that hospitality involves is sharing food and drink with one another. Now, hospitality involves sharing more than that, but it starts there. Usually, the context of eating together is very important, as it is for most of us, but it is the way that God designed for us to have fellowship with one another, to share. Now, you can do that by, if you're not a good cook, if you're single and you don't cook for yourself, it's okay to order some food and bring it in. It's even okay to go out to a restaurant together, although a preferred place is the home, because in the home, there's a feeling of inclusion and being part of a family. And if you can invite someone in and share a simple meal with them, some cultures, I know, they prepare elaborate meals for hospitality, but it doesn't need to be. It can be the most simple meal if it's shared in love. That's what Abraham does. He says, let me bring a little water for your feet, and let's get a meal together, and let me serve you. So sharing food and drink. That takes time, by the way. One of the things that hospitality does is slows us down. The average length of an American meal is 15 to 20 minutes. We tend to eat on the run, and we don't slow down. So hospitality is actually good for you. It's good for us to practice hospitality. It makes us take time for listening and relationships. The third thing that hospitality involves is sharing out of our heart the things that are important to us and listening to what's important on the hearts of other people. You know, it was after the meal that something very significant happened. What happened? After they were done eating, God opened his heart to Abraham. He said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And he also reaffirmed the message that previously had come to Abraham about God's promise for him to have a child. After the meal, some very important things took place for Abraham in that context. And I believe that it's those times that you're lingering that all of a sudden people start to open up their hearts and they tell you. You know, the experience that Tuyada shared, that very personal and deep experience that she had about the pain that occurred in her life, and there was the family at that time coming and seeing what was going on and being able to minister to her. You know, there are many international students who have things in their heart that they would love to share with people. Pyongan said the same thing. You know, when she's having a difficulty or a struggle, before she used to be alone, now she has someone to share that with. It is in the context of hospitality that we can share the deep things, which includes sharing Jesus Christ. And I find that the witnessing that occurs just very naturally after a meal and talking about our lives often is the fertile ground by which people hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, can you do those three things? Can you have a heart that would welcome people? Could you share some food and drink and some time with someone? Could you open up your heart to share the experiences that God has given to you, the ways that God has answered your prayers, the ways that he's at work currently in your life, the struggles that you go through and how God is helping you? If you did that, it's possible that you could entertain angels without knowing it. Now, the interesting thing about this verse that I find very compelling is that God could have said to us in Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers because they are in such desperate need and they really need this in their lives. God could have said, don't forget to show hospitality because, you know, this is something that I want to take place to reach people. No, what he said was, don't forget to show hospitality because there are examples of me blessing people that occurred before. And if you want a blessing in your own life, if that's what you're looking for, to have a blessed life, hospitality will open up the door for me to do something in your life. Now, the reality is we do bless the people we host, but God has prepared a blessing for us in the context of hospitality. How many of you want more of the blessing of God in your life? How many of you want to have experiences where you know the presence of God in a stronger way and where you see God is speaking to you? Well, this scripture is telling you if you want that type of Christian life, then hospitality ought to be part of your life. That opens the door and the possibilities for God to be working in your life. I find that, you know, God has all sorts of blessings for us that he wants to give us in our life. And the question we have is what releases them? And here, hospitality is one of the releasers of God's blessing. You know, if you go through the scriptures, not just the story of Abraham, but God purposely, when he wrote the word, included stories of hospitality where amazing things take place. If you think about the Shunammite woman in the Old Testament who opened up her home to the prophet And as a result of that, she had this deep longing and desire in her heart to have a child, but she could not have a child. And then as a result of the hospitality that she showed, God answered that prayer and she was able to have a child. And then, in fact, that child died and then was revived. And so she saw the power of God at work. Think about the woman of Zarephath, the widow of Zarephath. Now, if you think that you don't have very much to do hospitality, you say, my house is too small. I'm not a very good cook. Whatever is the objection, the woman of Zarephath, when Elijah the prophet came to her, she said, I'm down to my last meal. In fact, I was just going to prepare the last meal so that then I and my son can die. And the prophet said, give me your last meal. Now that would make great headlines today, wouldn't it, in the newspaper? Prophet asks widow for her last meal. But God, she trusted God. He said, trust God in the process to do this hospitality. And so she invited the prophet in. And you know, remember what happened in the story? There was a supernatural supply of food for that woman. That on an ongoing basis, that drum never ran out of flour. God showed his power. Through hospitality, that woman's life was blessed and her son. You think about all the stories of hospitality. They're amazing in the scripture. And so God is telling us through these stories, I can do something great when you practice hospitality. Now, in contrast, you know, the scripture includes stories to instruct us about how not to do hospitality. Like in Luke chapter 10, with the story of Martha and Mary. And Martha was a wonderful woman. She invited Jesus to her home. She got the first step right. She said, let me have Jesus in my home. The problem that she had was that she thought having Jesus in her home meant doing a lot of things for Jesus. And so she became very anxious about the meal. Now, the meal is an important part of hospitality, but it isn't the most important part of hospitality. The most important part of hospitality is the relationship. And Martha was missing the relationship. And so Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. We're worried and anxious about many things. But Mary, she really understands what this is about. She's sitting down here and listening to my words. Now, I love to talk about the story of Martha and Mary with my international friends because it's one of the times where they say, this is not right. I'm a pro-Martha person. Somebody needed to prepare the meal. And this is impractical, this story. You know, Jesus didn't seem to have a problem when there was no food present. There's a couple stories like that, right? Where people were sitting there listening to the Word of God, and then it came time for dinner, and he brought the meal. He already brought the meal, actually, a spiritual meal. He brought, see, the blessing of the hospitality when they had Jesus come into the home was that he was sharing the heart of God with them, and Mary was able to receive that. I think that maybe just like Jesus was countercultural when he was talking to the Samaritan woman, I try to imagine the scene. This is just a conjecture. This is not taught in the Bible. But I said, well, what would have happened if Martha had sat down with Jesus and then it came time for the meal? What would have happened? Maybe Jesus would have turned to his disciples and said, hey, guys, let's go cook the meal together. Now, that would have been countercultural. Maybe he would have multiplied. I don't know what they would have done, but I don't think Jesus would have said, you know, this is a really bad day, Martha. No meal here. What kind of host are you? No, that wouldn't have happened. So I think we need to see where we are on the side here. All of you Marthas out there who get really anxious and worried about doing hospitality because you think your house isn't clean enough or because you feel like your cooking is not good enough. I got some good news for you. Our international friends do not know what the American food is supposed to taste like. They don't know if it's good or bad. So you say your house is too small. Do you know the average size of American homes are so large compared to the homes in the rest of the world? You know, we just have to get past the obstacles of our culture and our thinking and understand what this is about. This is about extending the welcome of God. Do you know when God wants to picture for us what his kingdom is like, he pictures it in terms of hospitality. The kingdom of God is like a wedding where people are invited to a great banquet. That's what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a meal where we sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob around a table and hear about the faithfulness and the promises that God has fulfilled, where we share testimonies with one another. And by the way, when we get to heaven and have that great meal, who's going to serve the meal? Do you know? It tells us in Luke that Jesus will serve the meal. Now, how uncomfortable will that be? I mean, we say, Lord, you serve me. Peter had that reaction. I think we'll probably feel a little bit of that. But Jesus is actually going to serve the meal to us because he is the great host of heaven. And he's the one by his blood who welcomed us. He's the one who said in John 14, I go and prepare a place for you that where I am, you may also be. I'm preparing a place in my home for you. I'm inviting you to my home. We've been invited to the home of God. He is the great host. And that's why we, as his people, if we're going to reflect his heart, we must be hospitable people. It's because God loves all the nations, and he knows that the way the nations are going to come to him is through hospitality. That's why he calls us also. And he also calls us to be a people of hospitality because he wants to show more of his blessing in our life. So I'm here. I was invited to share with you about the ministry of international students, but I really wanted to share with you the ministry of hospitality because that is essentially what our ministry is about. And I wanted you to understand this is not simply a good idea that I'm bringing to you. This is not like a suggestion. This is God's word as an imperative and an injunction that calls us to his blessing. Now, I'd like to share with you how that could take place. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, where there are thousands of international students from many nations, most of them coming from the 1040 window, the least evangelized part of the world. Most of them coming, like my friend Tayu and my friend Abdul, coming without any exposure to Christ in their countries. God is sending them here for a purpose. So what's that got to do with you? Well, international students, you cannot probably host a student on a regular basis. It's an hour drive. That's pretty far. But you could do it on an occasional basis. One of the things we offer international students is a weekend with an American family. Typically in December and sometimes during the summer, we'll organize a little trip. We'll take a van load of international students to one church and ask people in the church to host them in their homes for the weekend and to do what you normally would do, just include them. Now, I don't know if there's anything to do in Marion. One of the churches that did this was in Mansfield. And I said, is there anything interesting in Mansfield? And they said, oh, yeah, there is the penitentiary where the Shawshank Redemption was filmed. And all the internationals know that film. Oh, yeah, there's the prison up there in Shawshank. So, okay, well, Mansfield is famous. I don't know what is here in Marion. You could show them a farm. They'd be interested in that, I'm sure. There actually doesn't have to be anything other than your home in Marion, Ohio. But if you would consider hosting for one weekend a group of international students. Now, it may even necessitate you driving down with a couple cars, picking them up, bringing them here, having them for the weekend, and bringing them back. But the time investment to do that, if you can think about the time invested to go on a short-term missions trip to China, the amount of money that would need to be raised, the amount of time to prepare for the trip, the flight itself. And just a trip to Columbus to pick up some students is nothing compared to that. I leave for China in 1 week to go to visit returned students. It takes a lot of time and effort. So this is one opportunity for you. Another opportunity is we have some special times when we are serving international students in Columbus where we need extra help. And you could do it as a missions project. For example, in August, when internationals arrive with their two suitcases from the airport and move into an apartment with no furniture, and they have to figure out, without a car, how they're going to get desks and beds and everything there, we sponsor a garage sale shopping day on one Saturday where we have garage sales set up from different churches and also private sales, and we will go and bring international students to those sales, and then when they find an item, we'll have a team of people that will follow a truck to pick up that furniture and deliver it to the students. And many times the students will invite you to sit down with them and have some tea or coffee or some dessert, and you get to know the student. So we need some guys. The hardest part on that is we usually don't have enough guys to deliver the furniture. So the people who deliver the furniture take 2 days working like hours delivering that furniture. I think it'd be wonderful if a group from this church would send a team down on that Saturday and be part of an outreach team to deliver furniture to international students. So I've given you two possibilities. A third possibility is on Friday nights we have a Bible study group for a number of international students who many of them are studying the Bible for the first time, and we eat together. But we always need food for that Bible study group. It would be great if one Friday night, one of the small groups in the church, or if it's not a small group, the missions team. I heard the missions team is kind of small. How many people are on the missions team? Five? Okay, well, it could be five. That would work. But if a missions team or a small group decided to bring a meal down and meet international students on that day, that would be another way you could serve. But the first thing I mentioned about the weekend with an American family, we could even, for this later in this summer, I could send a group of international students to you to hang out for the weekend, to just do whatever your family does. And maybe as a church, you could do a little activity with them. Hey, by the way, is there anything in Marion to do? There is. Oh, great. What is there? Whose tomb? Oh, President Harding was buried here. Really? And his dog, too. I'm sure international students would bring their cameras and take a picture of that. I know that. I say, can you believe these Americans? They bury their dogs and everything? Yeah. So you have received a passport. Normally, you need a passport if you're going to go to another country and go there, but we're making it very easy for you. We're issuing you a passport that's good for visiting up to 100 nations in the form of the nations that have come to us in international students. So a lot of the things on that card describe the way we do ministry to international students. I mentioned earlier airport pickup and temporary housing. We help students practice their English. We have English conversation partners and ESL club. We take students on trips during holidays. But I don't know if it's on that list, if it says holiday hosting. That's one thing you could check. Or you could just write in weekend with an American family. And I'm asking you today to respond to the message by asking God whether that is something you can do, that you could do something to practice hospitality with international students. Now, I believe that God has strategically located you in this community. I believe that you have the type of lives and families that international students would greatly benefit from and would eagerly desire to come to. So the question is, would God give you the prompting to do that? So let me pray with you, and you can just listen. You know, this was I believe the Bible's straightforward on this, so you just need to see what God wants you to do, okay? So let me pray with you. Lord, we do thank you that you love us so much that you would invite us to your own home, and not just for a visit, but to be there forever. And Lord, I thank you that you call us to be a hospitable people. And I thank you you've sent thousands of international students from the nations to the United States. And I thank you that today you are giving this church, the Grace Brethren Church in Marion, you're giving them the opportunity to participate in what you're doing in blessing nations and to participate in your heart for showing hospitality to them. And so I pray that you would speak in the hearts of your people and you would give faith to overcome all of the obstacles and faith that would allow people to say yes. Lord, I know that there'll be specific situations where people can't do it at the time, and you know everyone's heart, you know their situation, so I'm not going to be able to judge anyone who can or cannot do it, but I do believe that you sent me here because you're calling people, and so I pray you'd raise up at least 10 people in the church to say yes to having a weekend with an American family. Lord, I pray that you would raise up a small group in this church that would take an action to either participate in the garage sale shopping day or in the serving of a meal. And I pray that this day would become the opening for an ongoing ministry to international students that would result in nations being changed. Because we know this is in accordance with your heart. And so I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there is a little bit of there's a table back there with some more information about our ministry. What I'd really appreciate is that those of you, I know some of you as husbands and wives need to talk to each other, that if you sign up and not both of you agree, that could be a little problem. But if you are ready and you know you're ready, fill out the card today and leave the portion with me. Before you leave. Also, if you're a little bit uncomfortable because you say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to communicate and question, we will provide some training for you before you do it to help you say, what do I serve or how do I start conversations? We'll help you with all those questions, okay? So if you sign up, it's the first step. Okay, thank you.